Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, again, you have heard our desire. We have spoken it in the hearing of each other this morning. We would be like Jesus. This morning we have assembled. We're going to celebrate mothers. We would ask a special blessing on each mother in our church. You know their needs. Attend to them according to your will. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Today, the very foundation of motherhood is being shattered. Divorce, adultery, separation, spousal abuse, child abuse. All this in such a sophisticated society. For hundreds of years, yes, thousands of years, the greatest honor and reward was that of motherhood. It was considered a disgrace and a curse for a married woman to fail to bear children. I thought I would look at some mothers in Scripture this morning. And give you an opportunity to respond with me or share with me and the congregation what you know about these mothers. And of course, if the Holy Spirit moves upon your heart that you would like to give a testimony about your mother this morning, you put your hand up and I will recognize you. Who was the first mother mentioned in the Bible? Eve. And it means what? Mother of all. It also means life. You know, all you men here this morning, you wouldn't be here if it weren't for mothers. I guess all you ladies here wouldn't be here if it weren't for mothers. In Genesis 2, verse 18, it says Eve, and God, you know, made man in his image. Man and woman he created, or male and female he created. He told them to go and be fruitful and multiply, but not just to Adam and Eve. He gave this command to all of his creatures that they would multiply and inhabit the earth. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Adam and Eve there in the garden? We spent some time on it in our Sabbath school lesson this morning when we talked about the environment. But what must it have been like for Adam and Eve in that pristine garden when God spoke it into existence? It was absolutely perfect. And this was their utopia. This was their home. God asked them that, to care for their home. And then the children came, or began to come. What was the name of the children that Adam and Eve had? Cain and Abel and Seth, and they said he had sons and daughters. We don't know how many over the next 930 years Adam was when he died. Eve. Can you imagine, you know, let me ask you, do you think Eve's life was without trial and tribulation? No way. What must have been like that afternoon? Maybe Adam and Eve was going for a stroll. They hadn't seen the boys since they left in the morning. They had breakfast maybe together. Maybe they, as a family, had prayer together. I'm not exactly sure. But that afternoon, they went for a stroll, and there she finds Abel. His blood is dried on the ground. She picks up that young man, I'm assuming maybe 15, 18 years of age. Kneels on the ground, takes that boy and cradles him to her chest. Trials and tribulations. You see, there was nothing that we go through today that our forefathers didn't experience. You know, they may not have had some of the problems that we have had to deal with, but they had problems nonetheless, didn't they? Then I think of another mother, Jochebed. Who was she the mother of? Of whom?
Moses.
Aaron and Marian, yes. And Moses was the youngest. Do you remember her husband's name? Amram. Mm-hmm. What must it have been like to live in these days in a foreign country, and they make a rule that all the boy babies 2 years of age and under, or you know, any new boys born at this particular time, they were put to death. Jochebed was a person of faith. She built that little boat, and she put the little boat of reeds or a basket of reeds, and she put pitch on it, and she made it watertight, obviously, and she sets it adrift on the river. Now, what kind of love was in that mother's heart to be able to let that little boy go with the hope that somehow he was going to make it, because if they were to keep it, the soldiers would surely come and he would lose his life. I don't know how old Aaron and Miriam was at this particular time, but you know the story. The king's daughter comes down by the river. She sees that basket floating there. In fact, it got caught up in the reeds, and it was just there. And maybe Miriam, you know, she saw her mom when she let that basket go, and it began to float just gently down the river. Maybe Miriam was following it, and she saw it got stuck in the reeds. And she just stood there in the background and watched. She hears the king's daughter come and her entourage. You know, they're all laughing and happy. And when the queen, king's daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, sees that little boy there, maybe Miriam's heart began to flutter, because surely she would report it to the king or the Pharaoh. But God has a way in taking care of his children, doesn't he? Somehow God speaks to that the heart of this lady, and she decides that she is going to adopt this boy. And Miriam has the courage to say, to run out at this particular time and Pharaoh's daughter recognizes that this is an Hebrew baby, and she has the nerve, Miriam has the nerve, to run out and say, I know an Hebrew mom who would be glad to take that baby and rear him for you. What must it have been like, maybe Miriam running back home? She's all out of breath, and she begins to explain to mother that the Pharaoh's daughter is down there at the river, and she has baby Moses. And she's so excited, and mother's got to say, just slow down. Tell me exactly what is it you want, Miriam. The queen, or the Pharaoh's daughter, is looking for someone to look out to Moses. Maybe Jochebed's heart was just, you know, maybe she was just flustered. Oh, they have found Moses. He's going to be put to death for sure. But all of a sudden, the focus moves away from death to life, and I have an opportunity to raise this boy. Can you imagine what kind of a responsibility, or how that boy was nurtured? You know, he had all the resources of Egypt. All that mother, all Jochebed had to do was ask, and immediately she was given these things. And of course, you know the story. When Moses became a certain age, he ended up in Pharaoh's court. And what a man he turned out to be. Folks, you'll never understand the responsibility a mother has unless you have that relationship and you know God. Because Moses, he changed the then known world, didn't he? And even in these days when we've been given these precious gifts to train up these children in the way that they should go, they should be foremost in our minds and in our responsibility, because what happens in the home happens in the community. What happens in the community happens in the state or the nation. So if we've got mothers who are and fathers that love their children, they are going to be statesmen. They are going to be leaders if they know God. Jochebed means Yahweh is glory. Okay, another lady in the Bible was Jezebel. Have you ever known any mothers to call their babies Jezebel? No. Who was Jezebel married to? Ahab. He was a wicked king. And boy, she didn't help him either, did she? She was probably the most selfish person in the Bible. Did Jezebel have any children you know of? No. And her life ended violently, didn't it? How about the mother of Samuel? Do you know her name? Anna. H-A-N-N. And I had to put the H there because you might think I was saying A-N-N-A. Hannah. She was the wife of, what was her husband's name? Elkanah. You can find that in 1 Samuel 1:5. What was Anna's problem? Barren. She was barren. And what did she do? She began to pray. And one of the experiences while she was praying, she was down by the, I guess, the the sanctuary because Eli was the priest at that particular time. And she's out by the door. She's praying and weeping. And what did Eli think? He thought she was drunk, and he begins to chastise her. And she says, "No, my Lord, I'm not drunk." But God heard her prayer, and she was given a little boy named Samuel. What kind of a job did she do in rearing that boy? She gave him to the Lord, didn't she? And she trained him in the way he should go. In fact, even as a little boy, she took him to the temple. And year after year, once a year, she would go up and see him. Now, you talk about trust. The mother not only trusted God to take care of Samuel, but she trusted Samuel that he would practice the things that she had taught him. Because Eli had a couple of boys, and they weren't very good examples, were they? They certainly wasn't. They were really real rascals. And even Eli himself, he wasn't not a good example to his boys. I don't know who Eli's wife was at that particular time, but Eli and his wife, they fail in raising their boys and girls to respect God. But Hannah was blessed. She had how many children? How many? Look up 2 Samuel 2, verse 21. I didn't realize Anna had any other children until I checked this out today. In fact, I prepared a sermon, and this morning when I woke up, I decided to do this. 2 Samuel 2:21. Somebody read it. Read it out loud for everybody. How many children did Anna have? Second Samuel 2:21.
Oh, I was in the wrong chapter.
Okay, yes, somebody else?
So that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel was born before her.
Okay, she had three sons and two daughters. And I believe that Anna was faithful in raising all three of her boys, along with her daughters. Then we move to the New Testament. There's another remarkable story about a young lady by the name of Mary, and she had her first child was named Jesus. Who was Mary's husband? Joseph? Did Mary have other children? How about somebody reading Mark 6, verse 3? Mark 6, verse 3. Becky, you got it? Yes, read it out loud.
Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him.
So, now I'm not sure if they were Joseph's kids from a former marriage or they were children, actual biological children of Mary. As we move on, how about Alice? How many children did Alice have? get two that I know of. Angela and Brian. Well, we come to celebrate motherhood, and I want to say on behalf of Alice, she has left an impression on me that she is a good mother and wife. Wow. We could all learn from Alice. She's much like that woman we read about to me in that we read about in our opening text this morning from Proverbs 31. You know, this virtuous, she works. I don't know anyone who works harder than Alice. Works with her daughter, takes care of the home, stands by her husband's side. She's a good mother. Now, can you tell me about your mother? Somebody have a testimony this morning. Juanita.
My mother didn't have children. But this is why she took in 6 foster kids and she adopted all of us. So we all came from crazy backgrounds and she stuck with all of us and raised us.
Now, I didn't know that before. Her mom adopted 6 children. All came from different backgrounds. And look at the good job she did with Juanita. And look at the good job Juanita is doing with Antonio. She is to be praised. Someone else have a testimony about their mom? Sister. Wow. Sin has a way of destroying things, destroying people, doesn't it? You know, I think of my mother, and I've told you about my mother, you know, some of the things about my mother, but my mother never worked outside the house. She was a stay-at-home mom, and, you know, we grew up in a time where we did not have indoor plumbing or electric lights. It was just coal oil or kerosene oil lamps and a wood stove. And I remember my dad, he was a carpenter. That was his trade. But oftentimes he had to supplement the income for the family by fishing, by cutting wood. And oftentimes he would be gone a week or two at a time. And I've seen my mom out, you know, splitting wood or bringing in kindling or bringing in wood to start the fire to feed us 4 boys. And we never had a whole lot of things as far as materialism is concerned, but we had a roof over our head and she always provided our clothing and our food. And I've told you something of, you know, we used to raise sheep and goats and a cow, or we trade, you know, we had a horse. But if you want to wear something uncomfortable, you got to wear homemade underwear from sheep. It is the prickliest stuff. Itchiest stuff. It is terrible. Okay.
One grandmother was dead when I was born. The other grandmother was the only one I knew. She was married over 60 years to my grandfather. Only twice did she spend one night, she spent two nights away from him in those 60 some odd years. Both times, one of her children's life was in danger, and she stood up with them all night. Outside of that, she never spent a night away from her husband. They were sharecroppers. She started her morning by getting up, fixing breakfast, then teaching each daughter how to cook breakfast to where she would have it ready, and at the break of day, they would be out in the cotton field, my grandmother with them.
Mm-hmm.
She made all the clothes that her daughters and herself wore. She made the shirts for the boys. I never heard that woman complain. She had rheumatoid arthritis so severe that when she stood up, she looked like she was fixing to fall all the time. It had to be very hard on her. She had a stomach disorder that I did not know about until after she died. But the only time I ever heard my grandmother say anything, when she would get up out of her chair or sit down, she would go, that was it. I never heard her say, I'm hurting or I'm having a bad day. Never in my life. Only once in my life did I ever hear her say a curse word. And that was because her son-in-law was walking up to their door with two six-pack of beer in his hands. And
she wasn't happy about that.
She was very unhappy.
Right.
But she died in 1963 when I was 23 years old, and I had only heard one curse word out of her mouth at that time. And like I said, I had never heard her say, I feel bad or I can't do. She would get up and do all the time, and I thought she was one wonderful lady.
Thank you. Christian? What she
said?
Oh, she wants her mommy. I love my mom. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to honor their mom? Have anything to say? Go ahead. You love your mom, don't you? Yes, I know you do. Okay, anyone else? Okay. You love your mommy, and
I don't know who's going to take care of her.
And you don't know who's going to take care of her? Maybe you will be able to do that. You're growing every day.
The angel might take care of her.
Okay. You love her much. Good boy. Good boy. Okay, Marcus?
You love your mama?
You love, yes, I know you.
I love my mama. I love my papa.
Oh, loves both mama and papa. That's good. I remember first when our oldest boy was born, and I'm sure that Donna thought it was going to be a girl, or he was going to be a girl, because she taught him how to sew, how to wash and clean and make the beds and and even and to cook. Yes, even today he does all these things. And I will say this: there's nobody who's loved their children more than what Donna loves her boys.
What I remember most about her, she was a strong woman. She was a very, very strong woman. very strong, and she was determined to do whatever it takes.
Yes.
She was very good. She didn't impose her will on us, you know, just you have to do this or no. She let us choose and just live with the consequences of our choices, but she always guide us to make the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can all relate to mothers. I picked this off the internet. It says, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She says, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. This one says, my mother taught me religion. You better pray that this will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. How about this one? My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. How about my mother taught me foresight? Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll really give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. I like this one. My mother taught me about contortism, you know, where you get all in these funny shapes. She says, well, you look at the dirt on the back of your neck. My mother taught me about stamina. You sit there until all the spinach is gone. My mother taught me about the weather. This room of yours looks as if a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in the world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait till we get home. My mother taught me about humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me about wisdom. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. And my favorite, it says, my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Well, we all have mothers, don't we? And I'm sure that each one of us can remember the fond, you know, we remember them with fond memories, especially those who are gone by hand. You want to say something?
Yeah, I guess about my mom. Well, I was an adult before I realized that she was a strong woman in her quietness. She was a very quiet and strong lady, but she had much strength. And God gave her that discernment to know which of her children needed her the most.
Yes. Is there someone else? Robert. Now, speak up so we can all hear.
She became an Adventist when I was not even born. She was pregnant.
Okay.
But she brought up 11 children by herself amidst severe persecution from my father.
Wow.
She taught us to be honest. Brought us the children, tell us the Bible. And today, most of her children are in the church. But just the few of them.
That is a tremendous testimony. There's a mom brought up 11 children by herself, and most of them are in the church, still in the church today. And she brought them up under circumstances much different than what we have right here in America. No?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
worked so hard. The husband didn't support her, didn't give any support. She had to raise and put food for the kids and give them medication.
Yeah.
Sometimes they went without food, you know, just.
Let's close. Oh, one more? Okay. Mother-in-law, okay. So Barney was the favorite, though. For you, he was. Okay. Let's close with hymn number 655, Happy to Home, 655.